This is called Happy Birthday, Homage to Hollywoodland. It was written by me, John Schwartz, and it's dedicated to my two children, Trevor and Toby, who had the good fortune to grow up in our magical neighborhood, and to my wife, Sarah Jane, whom I had the good fortune to marry and was living in our magical neighborhood. Hollywoodland is where we reside. It's located betwixt LA's East and West Side. It's lined with houses, each one is unique. It's a great place to live if it's warmth and charm that you seek. It's nestled in the hills under the Hollywood sign, just up from the corner of Hollywood and Vine. It juts into Griffith Park, a great nature preserve, and its old scenic streets twist, turn, and curve. It's the very first canyon developed in LA, where movie stars lived way back in the day. Many of old Hollywood's most famous folk lived here before the world went wild and turned woke. It's a place that you enter through its historic stone gate, built at its founding, 1923 was the date. Then into the village, compact and small, where friendly purveyors tend to each, one and all. There's the Beechwood Market, which could be your first stop, where Alex will help you when it's time to grocery shop. And Daniel at the cleaners, who'll starch your shirts nice and neat. And the Beechwood Cafe, where you can sit down and eat. There's Penny at the hair salon, who'll style your long locks, and Brin's Retail Shop, where you can buy some old vintage frocks. Then Patty at the realty office, who'll show you a new home, perhaps one built like a villa or a geodesic round dome. It's a place where the people are polite and discreet, where kids can still safely go play trick or treat. It's a place where nature and diversity abide, and where mountain lions and deer are sometimes espied. It's a neighborhood of which the residents are proud. It's not jazzy or glitzy or pompous or loud. It's a neighborhood that's quiet, composed, and serene, where the people revere its old world aspect and mean. It's a neighborhood where you can lead a wonderful life and find a nice quiet refuge from the city's stresses and strife. It's a neighborhood whose interesting fauna and flora blossom and thrive amidst its magical aura. It's a neighborhood where people help out each other. It's a neighborhood that, frankly, is unlike any other. It's a neighborhood where the spirit is live and let live. It's a place where you may take, but also must give. It's vigorous and vibrant, not moldy or musty, though some of its residents, I admit, can be crusty, as they seek to preserve it against every new threat, and they'll never give up, on that you can bet. So they toil and work day and night. Is there any other way to fight the good fight? Who are these heroes who always answer the call? Like a Praetorian guard, they don't falter or fall. Yes, who are these heroes who are not listless or lazy, but who drive their poor spouses stark raving crazy, as they never stop talking about the latest bad news, like the city's inaction or the chamber's pro-tourist views. There's hardworking Chris, whose nickname is Kiki, and whose responses to opponents are often fact-filled and cheeky. She is also our unofficial research historian and ceaselessly acts as our principal Praetorian. There's Crosby and Linda, who both walk the walk, not like others you know, who just talk the talk. In all sorts of ways, this generous pair lean in with their help, with passion and flair. And the indefatigable Sarah Jane, who works all night long until the spell is broken by the robin's early dawn song. Then after lunch, from round about noon, comes her torrent of emails that starts none too soon. And the siblings Greg and Alexa, who grew up in our hood, who continue to work to ensure its continuing good. And generous Ed Cohan, who lived here for a time, who protected us legally, but never charged us a dime. And let's not forget those who have all passed away, though sadly they're gone, they all helped in their day. Like Emmett the Major, Ted, Fred, and Lorraine, it's good to know their efforts were not expended in vain. And a special salute to those who are still heard though not seen, Joel Schiller, for one, who helped build our grand Village Green, and the redoubtable Gene Mason, who left a generous bequest to help our neighborhood in the future weather time's tenacious tough test. Now let's get back to our sightseeing stroll and survey the houses, Hollywood's unique heart and soul. The houses you'll see come in all shapes and styles, from shingled Cape Cods to those made with red Spanish tiles. There are cottages and castles with parapets so tall. There's even a house with a painted knight on its wall. There are houses that cantilever out from a hill, and those that run the risk of a rockside or spill. There are houses that abut right up to the street, and those that are nested where streets link up and meet. There are houses that are hidden and difficult to find, and those that are situated on some curves that are blind. There are houses that are registered on a national list of historical interest and shouldn't be missed. And there are structures designed by some architects of fame. The Johns Lautner and Delario are just two I could name. Their eclectic designs, both traditional and new, enliven our neighborhood like spice in a stew. Lautner is the one who is perhaps the best known. As time has gone by, his reputation has grown. The large window at the market, with its sleek modern line, embodies his principles of organic design. Delario is a proponent of the revivalist form, where renewing old styles was the custom and norm. He designed over 30 of the homes in our original tract, and most of his castles and cottages still remain standing intact. A prime example of his revivalist fealty is the building now occupied by Hollywoodland Realty. As you enter the canyon, this iconic old site welcomes you in with a look that's just right. North Beachwood Drive is our main central street. If you drive to the end, you may be in for a treat. At Sunset Stables, you can rent a trained chestnut horse for a ride in the gloaming on a high hillside course. Then kick back on a dinner of sizzling fajitas, washed down with a couple of iced margaritas. And don't worry if on the way back you may sway, or the horses, I am told, by themselves know the way. It's a place where Hollywood history abounds, so why don't we all now make the rounds? It's a place that's laden with interesting lore and a picture-perfect spot for a celebrity house tour. If history is something about which you want to know more, Will and Ariel Durant both lived here before. They wrote books and books on Western Civ about how rulers ruled and lay people lived. Aldous Huxley, the philosopher, also lived here, though he was known to be a bit peculiar and queer. His house in the hills burned down in a fire, and his papers were lost in that hot, heated pyre. Did you know that Dracula, too, for a while lived up here? But don't be worried or scared. You have nothing to fear. It's been a long time since Bella haunted these hills. Thank goodness, because it almost gave me the chills. Bugsy Siegel, you'll recall, was a nefarious gangster, not just some jester or pert, peevish prankster. He lived in a house with a tall, tiled tower from which he could survey all of Los Angeles, starting from Gower. Madonna, you know, that material girl, bought Bugsy's house and gave it a whirl. Then she moved to Los Feliz, or so I've been told, after she repainted the house and then had it sold. Erte, the artist, was a man you might greet had you gone for a walk along Beechwood's wide street. An Art Deco master for whom design was a passion. He is renowned for his costumes and ornate women's fashion. Joe E. Brown, the actor, lived a few houses south. He was known for the size of his gaping wide mouth. Nobody's perfect, he quipped, and some like it hot. A fitting conclusion to the film's cross-dressing plot. Kathy Bates, the actress, once lived up here too, on twisty small Westshire, but without much of a view. In the movie Misery, she tortured James Caan. Perhaps we're lucky that she's moved out and is gone. There was also an actress whose first name was Spring. Have you ever heard of such a silly odd thing? Byington was her waspish last name. She has 2 stars on Hollywood's Long Walk of Fame. Then there's the author whose name is James Caan, for whom finding a rhyme has been a real royal pain. He wrote the screenplay for The Postman Always Rings Twice. Well, my mailman's so good, he always rings thrice. And don't forget Moby, the techno composer and singer, who once lived in a house that's quite a humdinger. The house he lived in is known as Wolf's Lair, and it's well worth a visit if you know how to find it and where. And of all of the gin joints in all of L.A., whoever thought Bogey would come walk this way? But it's said that this icon of the genre film noir was another famed resident Hollywoodland star. In the 1950s, they filmed a movie up here about pods from outer space you had to flee from and fear. They took over your body and made you timid and tame. Invasion of the Body Snatchers is this old classic's name. And so our short tour now comes to a close. What the future will hold, nobody knows. So let's all celebrate grand old Hollywood land, a place so unique in the way it was planned. Let's now all stand up and applaud its centennial, whether you're a septuagenarian or a new resident millennial. It's a century now since they developed this space. Happy birthday to Hollywoodland, our special singular place.